You're listening to iWine Radio.
Hello, my name is Bruno Pomar. I'm the first winemaker of Chateau Hansen in Wuhai, Inner Mongolia, China. And you can learn more about my vineyard going to www.hansenwine.com.
Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there. This is Andreas Larson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandave, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of VinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Today we're going to have the great pleasure of talking to our first winemaker in China. His name is Bruno Pomard. He is a French winemaker, formerly a sommelier turned winemaker and director of oak aging for Bouvet et Lotbet in the Loire Valley. But he is now the winemaker and the export director for Chateau Hansen. And I am going to, please forgive me, everyone listening, because I do not know Chinese pronunciation. And so let me say that the winery is located in Wuhai, Inner Mongolia. And up on the website of hansenwine.com, H-A-N-S-E-N-wine.com, you can even find information about all the different growing regions within China. So I'd like to bring on our guest, Bruno Pomard. Thank you so very much for joining us today on Wine and Dine. The name Hansen. Tell us what that means, and you met a man named Mr. Han?
Yes, actually. Yes, Hansen means the forest of the Chinese people. Han is the name of the main ethnic in China, and Sen means the forest, actually. So actually, it's a beautiful brand, but also it's there is an analogy with the name of my boss, Mr. Han, which is also his name, so you see... This is the way you choose this name, actually.
Was I pronouncing it correctly? The region, is it pronounced Wuhai?
Yes, Wuhai is the name of the city, which is near our chateau, near our vineyards, and it's located in Inner Mongolia.
So the region...
Which is in Chinese, Neimenggu.
Okay.
Yes, it's a region. But actually, this region is quite big, you know. Inner Mongolia makes twice the size of France. It's a big region.
And Chateau Hansen is the first winery, correct?
The first winery, yes. This is the most well-known. But you know, here everything is going so fast. On the other side of the river, 60 kilometers from my chateau, there is a brand new one just came, I would say this year. They planted it 3 years ago. Now they just built a beautiful Italian chateau.
Wow.
And they just planted 1,000 hectares of vine.
1,000?
So a new one just coming now in the middle of the desert. Things are going very quickly in China.
Oh my gosh. And when you say desert, you mean the Gobi Desert. And so all the vines are, they survive with drip irrigation from the Yellow River, is it?
Yes, it is. Exactly, yes. We build a very big canal coming from the Yellow River to take to bring the water to the vineyard, and we irrigate this way, actually.
Could you please tell us your journey from France to China? How did that happen?
Actually, I was working, as you said, for this other winery called Bouvet Ladubé in Saumur in the Loire Valley in France, and I came for an event. And actually, I was just a bachelor, a single man, and I met a Chinese woman, and I just stayed.
Oh, my gosh!
I just stayed in China, and after, I met everybody from the wine business, and I met this winery, which the terroir is so fantastic to make fantastic wine in Inner Mongolia. I just stayed there.
Oh my gosh, that of course would be the reason why you would stay. We had to be a woman. So talk to us about the terroir of Inner Mongolia.
So as we mentioned, we must irrigate the vineyard, so this is quite difficult at the beginning to think about that, of course. And also another point which is difficult is we must bury the vine all every winter because, you know, the temperature can come down minus 30. And once this problem is passed, after it's a really beautiful terroir to grow grapes, because there is no rain at all, and there is no disease, so it's quite easy to make organic wines, very pure wines, and to make very strong wine as well, because, you know, in the desert, no rain, so that makes very little grape, and I can make quite some big reds, as you say in America.
Yes. Some big reds that are based... You have two different wines that you have right now, right? Two different red wines?
Yeah, I'm making a few different red wines, of course. I have some Cabernet Sauvignon, some Merlot, like everywhere else.
Yes.
But I also have a grape called Cabernet Garnished. It's a grape came in China in 1880, and it grew well, actually, there. But we don't really know what it is at the beginning. It's a sort of spicy grape, like a little like the Syrah in France. And here we're making quite a spicy wine, which is really, the identity of the Chinese wine. Because now this grape doesn't call also Xiaolongzhu, which is a Chinese name. And this is really the grape who has the best adaptation in China, quite everywhere. So this is a Chinese grape now. And it doesn't look like anything else in the world. It's, they have his own identity, I would say. So I'm making three sort of wines, and of course the wine aged in oak, like quite everywhere in the world.
And I understand that when you say three different wines from this Cabernet Garnished, you even can make a fortified wine like port?
Yes, also, yes. It was last year, actually. I did a try. I was in the front of a cask during a fermentation, and the fermentation was arrived at 9 degrees of alcohol, and I thought to myself, oh, this is the moment we do mutation when we do port. So I just tried, I did it, and I did something really special with pure fruit, you know, very high quality sort of port made with this Cabernet Garnish in the middle of the desert of Gobi. I was quite happy, actually, of my result. And we have also a successful business with this wine. Everybody liked it and everybody buy it.
Do you ever make a rosé, a dry rosé with your Merlot?
No.
No, okay.
No rosé, because anyway, there is no market for the rosé in China.
Okay.
Nobody drink that sort of wine. Yeah.
Okay. People like the dry red wines and the sweet red wines.
Exactly, yeah. The dry red wine, mainly because here the dry red wine is also considered like a medicine. You know, the story of the molecule resveratrol, which is good for the heart,
right,
is something very famous and well-known in China. And the people drink that now and think, this is good for the health. So they are very happy about that.
Wow. Are more people using wine on a regular basis, a daily basis, a glass of wine with dinner, or is it mainly for special weekend dinners?
Oh, this is different here. You know, there is another tradition in China, which is the famous kampei, means the toast you make. But here, the kampei, you know, you make it every 5 minutes during a meal. So anytime there is somebody take the glass to drink, they do a toast. They can't drink themselves the wine without making a toast. So a meal is full of toast all the time. I would say that the people, first they do toast with everybody, and after they do toast one by one, one to one, you know. And so they drink a lot, actually. And now the fashion have changed. Before, this toast used to be made with a spirit,
okay.
Or made with rice, we call the baijiu.
Okay.
And now the fashion came last year. In the last 2 years, this toast is made with a red wine. This is a new fashion.
Wow.
This is why we're growing so fast at the moment. The consumption of red wine in China has been multiplied by 5-10 in the last 2 years.
This,
this was a good moment for us.
And ganbei is spelled G-A-N-B-E-I, and it means empty glass.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
The same as cusec in French.
Oh, my gosh. And are people in Beijing drinking your wines? I understand that you make 400,000 bottles of wine a year is what the estate is producing.
Yeah, at the moment, yes.
So people are drinking.
And, we have a good market everywhere in China, but our best market for us is in our region, in Inner Mongolia.
Okay.
This big region, so we are famous in our region, so we sell 3/4 of our producing in our region.
Okay. Bruno, we're going to go to a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation, and I thank you so very much for staying with us. It's the middle of the morning for him. We're going to continue with Bruno Pommard, the winemaker at Chateau Hansen in Inner Mongolia. The city is Zhuhai. We will have links up for you to learn more. We will be right back.
This is Doug Frost, a wine writer and just a guy who likes to drink wine. You can check out more about what I've been up to lately on my website, which is dougfrost.com. But more than anything, if you want to know what all the geeks are up to, just keep listening to Lynn at Wine and Dine.
We're continuing our conversation with Bruno Pommard, a French winemaker who found himself at the end of the world making wine at Chateau Hansen, which is in the city of Zhuhai in Inner Mongolia. And the company dates from 1978, but the chateau and the winery were built in 2001. And the location is less than 500 meters from the airport, which is brand new. And the chateau includes a luxury hotel. They have 20,000 visitors a year. Bruno, so at the winery, you have the chateau winery facility and also the hotel for entertaining people and people who just want to come for tourism?
Yes, it's a sort of what we call the industrial tourism, you know, when the people come to visit a company to be interested in how the company, this company works. And we have a lot of tourism coming from, mainly from Inner Mongolia, but also the region of which are underneath on the map, the Ningxia, the Shaanxi, that sort of people. And they come actually to discover how to make wine because they don't know that this is quite new here.
Okay.
So this is why we have such a success with tourism actually. And also because we are really in the desert. This is the middle of the desert of Gobi, which is going to the north after. And this is the middle of the desert of sand, you know. It's just like in North Africa, in the Sahara. We have a large place of sand, dune desert.
Yes. Is it real windy at certain times of the day or certain times of the year?
Ah, yes, yes. This is quite windy. Yeah, yeah. We don't miss wind. This is sure. So wind would be good for us if we would have some rain for the grape, you know, to dry the grape. But anyway, we don't have some rain, so we don't have some disease at all in the vineyard. The vineyards stay really pure. But we have some wind, especially in winter. The wind is so cold. This is not a nice place to come in winter for tourism, actually.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter, I tell you.
And what months are winter there?
January, February.
Okay. And what?
It could be very cold.
And when are you harvesting the grapes? What months
when
do you...
When we are?
Yeah. Yeah, what months? Are you harvesting grapes like in France in September?
Just like in France, you know,
okay.
it's North Hemisphere is in September.
Okay.
Exactly the same. We are between the 35 and the 45 latitude. So this is the same as north of Italy and south of France, you know?
Okay, okay.
Exactly the same.
I'd like to get you to talk to us about the philosophy of Mr. Hahn and why he wanted to make a winery in the middle of coal country.
Actually, because he's native from here. This is the first main reason. He's native from Inner Mongolia, a city called Hohhot, which is the capital of Inner Mongolia, near Wuhai. And he was working a little bit in the mining and also making house. And he always had a sort of dream, you know, sort of vision to make something of the desert, because before, with the desert, it was not possible to do anything. And with his brother, at the beginning, in 1978, they saw about that and they started to make a little bit of negotiation of wine.
Oh.
And after, in 1999 was the next steps, and they planted the vineyard, their own vine.
Okay.
And in 1999. And the dream was still here, to transform the desert in a beautiful vineyard. And they did it, actually. Today there is a really big parcel, you know. He just bought a new parcel of 3,500 hectares of desert to make a new vineyard in 60 kilometers from the chateau on a very nice place, actually, of the desert, near a little city called Erdos. And we are building a new chateau here as well. Because,
okay,
you know, as I say to you, things are growing quick and fast here in terms,
yes,
of business, of investment. So for at the moment, we start to build two new chateaux. One brand new one in Erdos, near this new vineyard. And another one in the little region of Ningxia, which is south of Inner Mongolia, which is already full of little chateaux. There is a lot of winery there, because it's also a good place for wine. And we are multiplying our vineyard by 10 now.
Wow.
This year.
And Bruno, isn't Mr. Hahn and his staff also teaching local people how to grow grapes and manage vineyards to supply grapes to Chateau Hansen? So there's a lot of creating jobs in the area.
Yes, for sure. This really creates some jobs in the area. We have seen that entrepreneurs who are creating jobs, we are making a lot of social. We could say that here.
Yes.
And we teach the farmer how to grow organic grape in the organic way.
Okay.
But they already know how to make grapes for a long time, you know,
this
is not really new, and they own their own vineyard.
Okay.
But me, with my canning, I just teach them how to make it organic.
If Americans wanted to come visit Chateau Hansen, would they be welcome? Is there any problems? It's far away from...
Yeah, you know, The Inner Mongolia people and the Chinese people in general are very, very nice people, very, very welcoming people. And Wuhai is just 2 hours from Beijing.
And
very easy to get there.
Okay.
And we have a brand new airport, which is quite a big airport in the middle of the desert. This is quite funny to see that, because it's really brand new, really beautiful, and still just have... 3 airplanes per day.
Wow.
In a very big airport. This is quite funny.
And
as I said, yeah, people are very nice and very welcoming here. This is amazing how nice they are, actually, I would say.
And aren't there also a little bit of some other tourism opportunities, like riding horses or camels and just getting to understand what the terroir feels like?
Yes, this is really visible and enjoyable, in the sense of here we are on the Silk Road, you know, where the Silk Road used to pass It was two Silk Road. One Silk Road was going to the city of Xi'an, who was the capital at the moment. And here we are on the Silk Road, who was going to the city of Beijing.
Okay.
And so there is a desert, the camel, the wild camel of the desert also. And of course, now they start to develop any attraction, like making camel in the desert and relive the time of the Silk Road.
Wow.
This is quite nice. As I said to you, some part, say 2 kilometers from the chateau, there is this is the beginning of the desert of Sahel. You really feel you are in the middle of the Sahara of North Africa. There is just dune, you know. It's really a beautiful desert of dune.
What, and if people were to visit and then stay at Chateau Hansen, the hotel, is there a restaurant there to feed people breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Of course, yeah, of course.
Okay, okay.
And we have a good chef in the chateau. He's doing, you know, the some original Chinese gastronomy, quite diversified, actually. He's not focusing too much on Inner Mongolia food.
Okay.
It's quite diversified, and it's a real gastronomy. You know, I'm quite lucky because me, I'm a resident of the chateau. I'm the only annual resident of the chateau, and
really?
I can enjoy all that all year.
Oh, wow. And was I reading correctly that one of the more traditional meals is to cook lamb on an open fire?
Yes, of course, yeah. Lamb is one of the most famous dish here, of course, because, you know, In this part of the desert, there is a lot of sheep, actually.
Yeah.
A lot.
Okay.
And we're making it, actually, like in two ways. A little in the North African way, like a kebab, you know.
Yes.
But also they cook it so many, many other ways, from stew and also with some spice, some garlic.
Okay.
This is quite diversified, the recipes of lamb we have here. And of course, we make also the lamb. You know the way they make the duck in Beijing, the famous Beijing duck. You know,
yes,
with a very dry, crispy skin.
Oh wow!
So they cook the whole lamb this way, and after they bring it in the restaurant and they cut it completely. You know, in front of the people, this is really beautiful to see.
Oh, my gosh. I am so thankful that you connected with me, Bruno Pommard. I thank you so very much for your time and joining us this week.
Thank you. I'm very happy about that.
Oh, my gosh. This is just so exciting. You are our first conversation from China, and this is just a thrill. Thank you.
The world is changing, so China now is on the market of wine also.
There you go. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you to you.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.